I'm Erica.
And I'm Jules. Most people have at least one thing that they can't or won't eat.
Yeah, we're definitely like that.
We started this podcast to talk about the gluten-free food industry.
Like new products and some of the stories behind your favorite brands.
And living life with a specialty diet, and also some important healthcare topics.
Since we're basically both broken inside.
You had me at eat.
Hello, welcome to another episode of You Had Me at Eat. I'm Erica.
And I'm Jules.
And we're here today to wrap up some amazing things that we had mentioned on our last episode of the podcast, which was the Winter Fancy Food Show. And then Jules has some amazing things to talk about featuring kinky babies and other Mardi Gras recipes for
you. It sounded like you said kinky babies.
Kinky babies. You know, it's a very, very unique.
It's a little known holiday featuring kinky babies. Okay, just to clarify, king cake babies. That's what we're going to talk about today. People, not kinky babies.
I'm honestly not into that. Do I slur my words on this podcast? Because when I go to make reels and they caption it, some of the stuff I'm saying is just like, are you sure? Did I say that?
I don't know. I thought AI was better than that, but
yeah, no, I'm not.
Maybe not. Yeah, you never know. We'll see what it does with our with the kinky babies.
Yeah, kinky babies.
It's probably going to put us as explicit on YouTube.
Can't wait. So I have returned back from Las Vegas. All in all, great trip.
We're so glad you're back.
Love it.
How much money did you lose?
So I was down a lot, and then I went to the airport, like totally like, oh, man, I can't believe I lost so much money.
I hate that airport.
And I went to the airport, and I want it all back.
Good for you. In slots?
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly thought I was going to miss my plane because I was like down to the wire, but yeah. So did that. Okay. I ran into had some interesting times with some Italian gentleman who stole my umbrella and got really weird. And I don't know. Did you see those stories?
I was just focused on the Magic Mike stories. I mean, to be honest with you, I just kind of put those on repeat.
So Magic Mike is amazing. This is my second time going and second time sitting in the front row because I truly believe if you're going to spend the money to go see Magic Mike,
why go if you're not going to interact, really? I mean, honestly, get the left hands.
To be fair, they do go around to everyone. Everyone has an opportunity to at least look at someone up close, to touch someone up close. It's like the zoo.
Really?
But what people don't understand about Magic Mike is it's really a very feminist empowered show. Like it is led by a woman that talks about how she is sick and tired of men not respecting women for all the amazing things that they do. And like how we need men to really understand, like we are powerful, incredible creatures and we deserve it all. Every man that you go home to tonight should be your Magic Mike. Like it's beautiful. It's brilliant. And people just think it's like a striptease. It's not. It's like a storyline. It's beautiful.
Got it. And
they also give every woman in the audience a safe word. So if someone comes up to you and they're like, I think they're going to touch me or they want me to touch them and you don't feel comfortable, you say the safe word and they go on. I actually saw it done and it was really beautiful. Someone was in the front row with a gaggle of girlfriends and someone came up and like held her hand and she's like, no, thanks. Or they said the safe word to her and he's like, okay, great. Thank you. So pleasant. So I was in the front row with another woman who...
And you're like, I'll take that.
I got it. Come on over.
Send him my way.
Sit right on my lap. So I sat with this woman who barely spoke any English. Her phone was all in, I believe, Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Because I was looking at her phone because I'm like, what is this woman texting about so much? But she had her phone on the entire time. So like the guys were coming up and she's like, while they were in her face, it was great. I like really wish that I saw all of her video because I'm sure it's precious. But the whole time she was like this, looking like she had never seen a half naked man before. So she's like, hee-hee.
She may not have.
So precious. So they saw that.
She's the one who took the videos of you, right?
So they saw it and capitalized on it because they're like, oh, this girl looks like she's never seen someone half naked before. Meanwhile, I look like I've been in the front row before because I'm like, you know, I knew all the songs, whatever. So they came up to me twice. twice. I had a gentleman I didn't know. And then the one that I like, his name is Jackson. He did like this really cute dance for me and then held my hand and kissed it. It was so precious. He's adorable. He's my favorite Magic Mike. And it was great.
How did you know his name?
Oh, because
I mean, having never been to the show before, I don't understand. Like
they introduce all the dancers at the end.
Got it.
But anyway, so this gentleman was grinding on me and I was so awkward because as I am when someone grinds on you and
I need to see this in person.
I did not share that video, but at the end, she's like, do you want, she said in so many words, like where I got it. She's like, you want the video of you? And I'm like, of course. And she goes, can you send me the video that you took of me? And I'm like, of course. So I'm like, take my phone. You know how to do this. So she's like doing all this stuff. And I'm like, amazing. And everything on her phone is Japanese. So I don't know how to like take her and airdrop it to her. And I'm like, just take my phone. So she gave me the video and it's hilarious because I'm so awkward. I'm just like.
No, you looked like you were very comfortable, actually. You're like, give it to me. Give it to me.
I was so like, just like, whatever. And he wasn't even my favorite Magic Mike. But I took it.
He was a Magic Mike who would do.
He would do in a pinch, you know? But anyway, it's a great show. I love it. I took so much video and I cannot tell you, I posted about it and I had so many messages from women that are like, you're doing the Lord's work out there. Because I just watched 30 minutes straight of this one clip over and over and over again. And like, you have to go. It's so good. So I had convinced some people. I'm like, you definitely need to put that on your bucket list because it's such a good show. It's not just like a striptease. Everyone's a very, very good dancer. Like I have not been to like Thunder from Down Under, but I assume it's a lot of like gyrating. But this is like a storyline. It's beautiful.
There's You're speaking dance. In a language. I mean, I've never even been to a show in Las Vegas. Like the one time I've been out of the Las Vegas airport, which I think I've mentioned to you before, I don't like, was that conference that we went to.
But you've never been to like Cirque du Soleil or anything?
I have, but not in Vegas.
Oh, but you know, like that's dance and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous.
Oh, I love Cirque du Soleil. Yes, but some Thunder from Down Under sounds like not Cirque du Soleil.
Thunder from Down Under is really like grinding on you, like physical strippers. This is more like Magic Mike the movie where it has a storyline and it's beautiful and it's feminist.
I never saw the movie.
Jules. Oh my God. Oh God.
I know.
Oof. It's giving feelings. Anyway, let's stop what this podcast is about.
It's getting hot in here.
It is. So I did that. And then I also went out to dinner with some people and, you know, really tried to enjoy my time as much as possible in Las Vegas because
looks like you were making the most of it.
I was. I did hit Mon Ami Gabi. So, I hit my Yellowtail Sushi restaurant. It was great.
Yeah. No, the foods that you posted looked really good.
Yeah.
And that is one good thing about Vegas is you really can get almost anything you can want you to eat there.
Oh, you can. It's nice. So beautiful. And the sushi there is just the best sushi that you'll ever get. So,
which is so strange for landlocked areas like that. Like some of the best sushi I've ever had was in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense of that.
In Texas is where Uchi is and they get stuff flown in every morning. So like, that's what's so wild is like, is this good for the environment? If you are flying in fresh fish every day, like it's good for me because this tastes delicious. I'm like, is this really great for carbon credits? I don't know.
I don't think they're thinking about that. Well, so the real purpose of you going was fancy food. Was that worth it? I mean, because fancy food to me lately, as we alluded to on the last segment, like I feel like
60% salami is I think the ratio that we went to 60% salami.
Yeah, it was just like charcuterie kind of show. Yeah, so lay it on me. What was it like?
They are really expanding. And I think that you would go and be like, wow, this is definitely not what I remember fancy food being because with Expo West being cost prohibitively expensive for a lot of brands, they're coming to fancy food. And the buyers at the show were incredible. I mean, the buyers, meaning the representative from Sprouts, was there, who was looking to see what we want to put on the Sprouts shelf in the next 12 months.
Well, yeah, now that there's not going to be an Expo East, I mean, I would think Fancy Foods, I mean, because there's two, there's the West and the East for Fancy Foods. So I would think that they would pick up the slack.
Yeah. So it's, it definitely was different this year. It felt more like a mini Expo West. And what's nice is at Expo West, it's like, it's so crazy and wild that sometimes you can't even talk to someone at Fancy Food. You can have full conversations with buyers. You can have full conversations with brands, and they're there for you. You know, it's great. Mm-hmm. And they do have a new inclusive section where it's like, so DEI and food, which is nice. So Black creators are there, Asian creators that are like historically underrepresented in the fancy food category are there. And that was really cool to see that. So I had met with some people that I had talked to at last year's, or I guess this year's Expo West, or no, 2023's Expo West.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really good. Honestly, I'm very surprised. It was really good.
Well, I'm glad it was worth it.
Yeah.
So you did some interviews.
I did do some interviews.
Got the skinny on some of this
stuff. I did. I wanted to kind of talk about some of these amazing products, because I have about three interviews that I think are really good, and the rest are just great things that I want to talk to you about. And one thing that I do want to talk about, which I think is most important to us, is marshmallows. it's not something that I'm like, you know what the world needs is more marshmallow brands.
Marshmallows.
but I realized that like there's not a lot of opportunities for those people who are you know, food allergic or whatever. Like there's some weird stuff in a lot of things, or vegan. So I do want to talk about three brands. One of them is Dandies. We talked about before. They did launch officially their spread, which is delicious. It's amazing. They gave me a package to take home.
It is like a fluff product.
It's like a fluff product, and it is allergen friendly. And they think that they're going to be in stores this like Q2, like middle of the year. Yes. So that'll be lovely. The other ones that I really want to talk about is a brand called Schmallow. And it is, imagine a whipped cream can. Okay. So it's whipped cream, but it's actually a marshmallow, and it comes out like a marshmallow topping, almost like a Cool Whip, but it has eggs in it. So you can creme brulee gun it, you know, I guess roast it, fire it. What is that called? A torch. Use a torch, and it burns like a beautiful marshmallow would, and it's dairy free. So it just contains eggs. So dairy free, gluten free, it contains eggs. But I have this video, and I'll put it in, of it, of the guy showing how it can be torched, and it's beautiful and it's amazing. And it's such a unique idea, but I'm like,
what a concept.
That's where can I buy it? He's like, well, we sell it every time we put it on the internet. I'm like, well, then make more, dummy. Like, I was like, I was so pissed that I couldn't like buy it, you know, because it's sold out everywhere.
Is this company, is that all that they make? Yeah. Or do they make anything else?
Yeah.
That's all that they make.
Yeah. And this guy had like a 5x5.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, your product is the best product here. What are you doing? It's really good.
How long have they been in business?
A couple years, I think. But like, you know, just one of those like kind of made it in my garage kind of thing, whatever.
Sure.
This dude you'll see is like an older gentleman. And I'm just like, this is amazing. The next brand that I want to talk about, still in the marshmallow category again, because it's such a sexy
because marshmallows.
Category. So it's a company called Funky Mellow. And everyone was talking about this brand. And I'm like, okay, well, it can't possibly be something I can eat. Of course, it's allergen friendly. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to talk to them immediately. So it's a brand, and they are food allergic people. And they're like, we wanted to have like a cream kind of thing that we could eat. So it's aquafaba based. And they have it in all different flavors. And it tastes just like a marshmallow spread, like just like almost like what Dandy's is, but it's in different flavors. And this one is refrigerated. So Dandy's is shelf stable. This is refrigerated, which makes it quite a bit harder to sell, right? Yeah. Because refrigerated space is so
coveted.
But grocery stores are like, I'm in, because not only do they have this, but they have something called a dipster, which is gluten-free pretzels.
Yeah.
So gluten-free pretzels with, that I don't know. I didn't ask, but I looked at all the ingredients and they're cassava flour based. So I wonder if they are, FitJoy
or somebody.
Yeah. So that's just my guesstimate, but, they're so freaking cute. And so they'll like be available at like end caps. And I'm like, this is so perfect.
Yeah.
I can freaking pretzels and marshmallow spread.
I bet they're hitting up C-stores too.
Oh, for sure. So we're going to play a video and you can learn from the founder about their story, because I think it's such a great story. And it just proves the fact that like, if you're food allergic and there's not a company for you, or there's not like a product out there for you, you can make it yourself.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hi, I'm Delisa, the founder of Funky Mellow. I run the company with my husband, Zach. We actually met through a music festival, and 6 months into dating, we created Funky Mellow. Funky Mellow is a very inclusive brand, very fun, very festive. We make plant-based dessert dips made from aquafaba or chickpea liquid, so it is allergen-free, no artificial ingredients. We have two product lines. One is the dip that comes in vanilla, cookie, and strawberry. And then we have the Dipsters, which is a snack pack, great for on the go. And it is also allergen friendly, paired with apple chips or pretzels. So Zach and I deal with a bunch of food allergies. He has corn and peanuts, which is in everything. And I have a gluten sensitivity. I'm allergic to dairy. So it was so hard to go out in the world and eat things that were tasty and be included when we went out into social settings. So we just wanted to create something that was super fun, very nostalgic, and very versatile. So you can put it with fruit. It's great with coffee. You can have the Dipsters as an on-the-go snack. And really, no one's left out when it comes to our fun dips. It's tastier than the alternatives too. So we are in retailers now. We're in Whole Foods. We are from Austin, Texas, so we're locally in Whole Foods currently. We are spreading to the Southern Pacific region and the Southwest region, so we're very, very excited about that. You can find us in the refrigerated dessert aisle where the whipped creams and the puddings are. And then we also are going to launch our new Dipster snack packs into HEB in April. And we'll have several flavors, perfect for kids, perfect for on the go and road trips. We're online as well. Yeah, so funkymellow.com. If you're not in Austin or in the Texas area or going to be in like the Southern Pacific, Southwestern region, you can find us online at funkymellow.com. And we do ship around the U.S. You can find our creams there. I mentioned I have a few flavors, strawberry, vanilla, cookie. There's hazelnut, there's chai, which are seasonal, great with coffee. And our Dipsters will be there very, very soon. So you can get your sweet Funky Mellow fix.
So that's the marshmallow category, which honestly, I was not expecting to have such a large category for marshmallows. A couple of other things I do want to show. We have a video that will overlay here. There's no interview or anything, but it's a brand that we've talked about before, Gluten-Free Meister. They were very big at the Nourish festivals. They were basically gluten-free ramen packets, and they now have snack cups that are like a snack ramen. So it's like everything that we want the Lotus Foods ramen to be, but actually making it into true ramen. And they have a new ramen called Shio Ramen, and these are all vegan ramens, which is amazing that they're vegan and gluten-free. It's a great brand. I hope to work with them in the future because their stuff is so freaking good. So this is their whole lineup that we're showing in the video. But they're constantly iterating, which I think is great because everyone loves ramen, but they're not known well enough. And I'm just like, when people like ramen, I'm like, have you not heard of like Gluten-Free Meister or whatever? And they're like, no, what is this? And I'm like, get it on Amazon. It's so freaking good. So, so the next one I want to talk about is a really interesting combo, I guess, of sweets and breakfast, because Purely Elizabeth just launched their cookie granola, and it literally just tastes like a chocolate chip cookie in granola form. I don't know how they did it. I think it's probably just like a ton of vanilla and sugar, although it's not as much sugar as I thought it would be. But I saw it and I'm like, oh, I bet that's pretty okay. But like, I really hate overly sweet granola. Like really, like mm-hmm. when it tastes like a birthday cake, I'm like, I don't want this in my granola. I took it home. Holy balls. It is so good. They have a chocolate chip and a double chocolate, and they were both so good. I'm so mad that I did not grab more samples because they are so good. But they're out now. Yeah, they're out now. So I think you can actually mm-hmm. physically buy them. But I was really surprised at it didn't have as much sugar as I thought it was for tasting so good. But he's like, it tastes just like a cookie. And I'm like, sure. I took it home. And I'm like, oh, okay, this actually does taste just like a good chocolate chip cookie. So that's really interesting because a lot of she was doing for a while, Purely Elizabeth, like trying to do less sweets. Like she was doing like cauliflower oatmeal. And I'm like, that's an interesting flex. Yeah. And so she was really focused on like and better for you. And it didn't work. Go figure. But this is like, oh, you're going for like the sweet side now. Like now you've got people, you're like, okay, clearly they want a sweet breakfast. So but they were very good. Two other sweets I want to talk about. One is a tea. So Republic of Tea, love them so much. They're great. They launched a pumpkin pie chai. And it's a seasonal flavor. And I'm so mad because I want it all year long. It's got buttery crust flavor, like a pumpkin pie. And I'm just like, how are you doing this magic? And she's like, was in R&D. And she's like, I know, isn't it great? I'm like, it is. It's so good. So if you like any of like their apple pie chai, very similar, but more buttery and pumpkin-y, obviously, and less apple. But man, so good. And then the last one I talk about for sweets is I did meet Rosie from Sweet Apolita. Love her. Love her brand. Aww. And I was like, hey, Rosie, I just want to chat with you because here's the situation. Not all of your sprinkles are gluten-free. And she goes, yeah, girl, I know. So she talked to me about the problem sourcing. She'd love for everything to be gluten-free. The problem is sourcing a lot of like the dragées that she's getting are from European countries. And so everything contains wheat, everything contains dairy, everything contains this and this and this. So I went over her products and I'm like, I just want you to think a little bit about more of the gluten-free consumer. She goes, you're in my thoughts all the time. So she knows they're working on it. It was so lovely to talk to her and be like, oh, so you're already thinking about that. So I brought up the fact that like her advent calendars don't have a gluten-free option. She goes, I know, we've been trying to work on that. And I go, your sprinkle surprise doesn't have a gluten-free and vegan option. She goes, I know. Yeah. So she told me that they're working on like, when anyone signs up now for her email list, she actually asks like, what are your food intolerances?
Preferences.
Yeah, or food preferences. And so they know now. They get it. So they're trying to like reverse backwards, like what can we source this ingredient from? And I'm like, thank you. So she is just a lovely human. They're all lovely. They were all lovely to talk to. And I do have a video about her showing her newest product, which is like a, I love her edible glitter, but she now has like an edible magic dust that you can do in drinks and an edible sprinkle glitter. It's amazing. Anyway, you're going to have to watch this video because it's super amazing and super cute. And it is gorgeous. I want to just like roll around in this product. So here's the video.
Hi, I'm Rosie Allier from Sweet Apolita. I'm the chief sprinkle officer here. We're so excited to introduce our new edible glitter. We obviously love sprinkles, but where there are sprinkles, there needs to be glitter. So we have our new edible glitter pods. We have our dream dust is what it goes by. This is perfect for, yes, dessert, but literally anything. You can put it in a pump and glitter your popcorn, glitter your hot dog, literally anything. It can also be used in drinks, although we do also offer the Stardust, which is meant for drinks. It's a finer particle, which is what helps it suspend for longer. However, they're both interchangeable. Technically, you can use dessert dust in drinks and drink dust on desserts or food. But we're super excited. We also have the flavored version, which is really fun. You really can't find this anywhere else. It's birthday cake flavor, so it has fun little pops of color in the actual glitter and, of course, tastes like birthday cake, sweet and sour, cotton candy, so much fun. But they're fun. They add so much, you know, bedazzlement to anything you want. So the best part about the glitters, besides being sparkly and fun, is that they're completely allergen friendly. So they're non-GMO, they're vegan, they're gluten-free, they are dairy-free, they're soy-free. They're suitable for literally everyone of any age and any sort of dietary requirement, which is the best part because they should absolutely be enjoyed by everybody.
And then the last thing that I want to talk about is really what I think you will get the biggest kick out of.
Not sprinkles?
I mean...
Not marshmallows?
What? I do love those too. Totally different one. So going back to the idea of fancy food being 60% salami, I couldn't eat most of the charcuterie stuff that's out there unless it was just like straight up pork. There was a booth and I walked by it last year and I'm like Expo East or something. And I'm like, we can't eat this. So no worries. It's a fake meat company or meat analog company. And it's called Prime Roots. And then I reached out to them and I'm like, can I even eat anything here? And she goes, yes, it's all allergen friendly. And I'm like, wait, what? And she goes, yeah, it's koji. So it's all spores and mold based. It's really interesting. But what makes these
yummy?
Yeah. What makes this different is it is like a deli meat and salami and pate. Mm-hmm. And it is wildly similar to meat. They had like the...
Did you like it?
Yes. I could totally eat a sandwich made out of it. They had the like the meat slicer, the deli meat slicer, and they were just like slicing.
Mm-hmm. The shaver thing?
Yeah. They're like, here's the turkey, here's the ham. And I'm like, it tastes not so much really like, oh my God, I can't believe it's not turkey. But it's like, oh, I could taste that this is like a turkey analog. I think if I were vegan and if you had this at a deli counter... Oh my God, you could have deli sandwiches. Like, it's just so different than the meat products that are out there that are like a chicken cutlet.
Sure.
Like, I love meaty, but it's not the same type of product. It is a deli meat analog. It comes in the, like, the deli meat little babies that you carry around, like, just like the ham, and you shave it, and it's just like a freaking sandwich.
So you take it home and shave it yourself? So, or are they just selling it to food service?
Like, I don't know if they were trying to get food service, and that's why they were doing this. Because I had never looked at this product before, because I always thought it was a meat analog that just contained Satan, or what is Satan, so I couldn't eat it. Satan. Could it be Satan? So anyway, they had that. They also collaborated with Three Pigs or something. It's like a meat brand. They collaborated with them to do a vegan pate or in a vegan foie gras. So I'm like, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever actually
had that. Seems like that would be way easier than the shaveable stuff.
Well, I'm telling you though, if you want like a freaking deli turkey sandwich, or if you can go into like a Jimmy John's and they had this, it would be game changing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're somebody who is going vegan for health reasons and you miss a deli sandwich, I would think that would just be.
Yeah. Like, so anyway, I think to get a better idea, let's watch the video and you'll hear their PR person talk about it. And she was so sweet and so great. And to see the salami cut, dude, it's like wild. It's so wild. So yeah. Take a look.
Hi, Erica. You're at the Prime Roots booth at the Fancy Food Show, and we are here debuting our plant-based deli classics, all made from koji. Koji is a super clean ingredient. It's gluten-free, no soy, no wheat, non-GMO, no antibiotics, no hormones, super clean.
And it looks just like deli meat.
It acts just like conventional deli meat. We have two turkeys, a roasted smoked turkey and a black pepper turkey. We have salami, pepperoni, pizza pepperoni that cups and cooks just like real pepperoni. It acts just like conventional. It's fresh as best. We slice it at deli counters behind the counter. You can find it right now in New York City. You can find it in California and in Portland. Go to www.primeroots.com. We have a store locator. You can sign up for our newsletter to figure out where we are next.
I don't know. I'm not sure I'm into that.
Girl, you eat mushrooms.
I do, but I am the non-meat eater who doesn't miss the meat. Like, if it's too much like meat, I get grossed out. Well, so I'm not looking for
I don't know. Let me know what you think after this video.
Anytime soon.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. No wonder you just blew by it.
Because I'm just like, yeah, this is stupid. I can't eat this shit.
It's like summer sausage, like from Pepperidge Farm that I used to buy my great-grandfather as a Christmas present. Wow. Nice.
Isn't that so weird? The foie gras was like really, but look at that freaking salami. Okay, so another thing that I saw on the sweet end is Edward and Sons. They have their Let's Do Organic line, and they have a whole bunch of different lines. But Edward and Sons as a whole makes great vegan products. We've talked about them in the past a ton. They now have a condensed milk that is a coconut caramel flavor. So it is a coconut condensed milk, and it is caramel. And it is going to be a game changer for anyone who uses condensed milk in recipes. So this is going to be huge. There is nothing like it on the market right now. And I'm very excited. I took one home and I don't quite know how to use it. So I will look forward to your advice.
Okay. So this is what I would do with it if I had it in my hot little hands. I have a recipe for 7-layer bars. Like,
like magic bars.
Call them, magic bars.
Magic Mike bars.
Magic Mike bars. Yes. My great grandmother called them Hello Dollies, but use sweetened condensed milk. And I used to, back in the day, I used to make my own coconut sweetened condensed milk because they didn't make it.
Yeah.
And
thanks, so Edward and Sons.
It's not, I know, right? It's not hard to make, but I have a recipe for it on my site. But now that you can buy it, awesome. But I would make that with the caramel. Oh,
it's so good.
That would just be like next level amazing.
And then another sweet that I think you love, I know you saw them, we talked about them before, is Freaking Awesome or Freaking Wholesome.
Oh my God.
Freaking Awesome.
They're so freaking awesome. I love so many of these.
But they just came out with a cashew line. So before they were just almonds and peanut butter and dates. They came out with a cashew line and then a coated chocolate cashew line. So it's like chocolate, date, cashew. So freaking good. So this whole line is so amazing. And they're going to have a big booth at Expo. So I'm very excited for you to just...
So you can find me at Expo by the Freaking Wholesome booth. I'll just be like...
So I could eat all of these. They're so good. The peanut butter one was just so yummy. And I think you will absolutely love them if you have not tried them yet, because they are freaking awesome, freaking wholesome.
I have not tried them yet, but I can only imagine because the other ones are so yummy.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw my reel about this, but Jelly Belly launched 2 new flavors for their Birdie Bots Bees, like the disgusting, like the things that are gross,
where
you
ones.
Like some taste like popcorn, some taste like boogers. Mm-hmm. It's burnt rubber and wet dog are the 2 new flavors. And I'm just like,
I don't understand that.
I cannot wait.
What am I missing? It's like
so fun. Have you never done this before? It has a spinner wheel and you spin and you decide who gets to eat what. And you can either, you eat it and you're like, okay, well, this is butter popcorn. I lucked out. And then there's one that looks exactly like butter popcorn, but it's actually like vomit, you know? And then you're like, oh, this is so gross. Some of them are just like, so, oh God. Jules, we're going to play it. We've got to go to the Jelly Belly booth and play it because it's so much fun. Some of them are so gross. And I don't know how this R&D team nailed like what vomit actually tastes like. But like,
why would anyone
because
put that in their mouth?
Because it's fun. Because it's fun.
It's not fun to eat something that tastes like vomit.
Kind of. So anyway, so those are the new things that I was like really excited about. I haven't tried the new flavors yet.
How about I go and I will video you spinning the roulette wheel and seeing whether or not you get to taste the vomit or burnt rubber.
I kind of want to try the wet dog one because I don't.
Or the wet dog.
Yeah. I don't know. So those are really cool. So all in all, honestly, really good fancy food. I think it was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy to be there. Yeah.
So glad for the recap.
I know.
You're welcome.
So Jules, let's talk about what holiday is coming up next. I mean, we talked about Valentine's Day last time.
We already talked about Valentine's Day.
If you didn't listen, go to the episode, bake all the Valentine's Day things. We've got you covered in the last episode. But we're now going to talk today about
Mardi Gras. Yes. Well, and Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday, for those of you who don't know. And it is the day before Lent starts on Ash Wednesday. And so it, you know, is different every year when it happens. But it this year, it's February 13th.
Wow, that's so soon. You
know, so much going on, all the baking. And it also happens to be International Pancake Day or Shrove Tuesday. So you got to pick your pleasure about what you're going to be baking. But I would argue that you should be baking your gluten-free king cake now and then bake your pancakes on Tuesday. Mm. And there's lots of lore behind all of that. And I have it all on my website. There's lots of information about it. But basically, because, you know, when you're starting Lent, you're giving up all of the fun stuff, right? So right before Lent, then you're trying to stuff your face with all the fat and sugar and eggs and flour and all that kind of fun stuff, which is why people ended up starting to eat pancakes the day before. And that's how it became like Pancake Day, because that's people, you know, back in the day, that's when they did that. So the only issue is, do you like thick or thin pancakes? What's your preference?
You mean like a crepe?
Yeah, like a crepe or like flapjacks. Which one's your preference?
I'm like a thick boy. Like a thick boy, like a thick pancake.
Okay. A Magic Mike pancake.
Magic Mike pancake.
That's right. That's right. Well, you can make any of those deliciously gluten-free, obviously. And the fun thing is that with the Nada flour now that I have, you can make them grain-free too. So if you're in that camp and you need grain-free, you can still get all of the fun, you know, pancakey stuff in, but have it be grain free. So I have those recipes on my website, and we do something called upside down night in our house. We've done it ever since my kids were little, which is to have breakfast for dinner. We've just always called it upside down night. I don't even know how that ever got started in our house, but anyway, so it basically, you know, if you ever hear people say it's, you know, we're going to the pancake supper on, you know, the Tuesday night before Ash Wednesday. That's basically upside down night. So, you know, have your pancake of choice, thick or thin, what have you. But you can make crepes sweet or savory. You can put, you know, your favorite fillings inside a savory crepe, which I love to do. Or, of course, you can do the classic Nutella and banana, or, you know, put jam or whatever you want to in a thin, lovely, uveva thin crepe, or you can do the thick ones. Yeah. So that's really easy. Anyone can do that. I obviously have a wonderful, easy pancake mix, but there's also recipes on my site to do the crepes or the pancakes.
So riddle me this, Jules. You're saying Shrove Tuesday and Fat Tuesday are the same thing.
Yeah.
But this year, Fat Tuesday is on the 13th.
Yeah.
And Valentine's Day is the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's all happening all at once. It's cray cray.
So wait, you're not, then you can't have any sweets for Valentine's Day if you gave them up for Lent.
Well, no. So Tuesday is Tuesday's the 13th and Ash Wednesday is the 14th. Well,
is that the start of Lent?
Yeah.
Better not give up sweets, because you want Valentine's Day cupcakes and cookies.
You want your chocolate.
And your cookie cake.
I know. You want your cookie cake. Bullshit. Exactly. Unless you're just going to stuff your face until midnight. You know, I don't know. It's up to you. You handle that however you want to.
But
I'm just here to report the facts.
Or just don't be Catholic.
Or give up something other than sweets and chocolate for Lent.
Sure.
But so the other thing about going back to Mardi Gras is the classic Mardi Gras, you know, the iconic thing about Mardi Gras is the king cake. And a lot of people, you know, think you can't have king cake anymore because you're gluten-free or grain-free. And I have this king cake recipe that's been on my site for 100 years. And it's one of those things that's just, it's so fun to make it, because people are like, oh my God, mind blown. I didn't know
you could actually do that gluten-free. What's different between a regular cake and a king cake? What's the difference? I've never made one.
Besides the icing. I don't know why they call king cakes cakes exactly, because it's more of like a cinnamon roll brioche type of dough. Okay. It's not a cake, but it's in like a crown shape. So when you make it, you roll out the dough like you would a cinnamon roll. So you roll it flat. Okay. You put all the fillings in the middle. Like it's like a cinnamon filling. I like to put apples in mine. You don't have to do that. But like cinnamon, nuts, you know, whatever. You can skip the nuts if you want to. But it is kind of like a cinnamon roll filling. You put it right down the middle. You roll the dough up. So it's like, and I have pictures and I have video of me making it as well on the recipe on my site. But you just roll it up in one big long log. And so the filling goes down the middle and then you roll up the dough and then you join the two ends of it so that it's in a crown shape. Then you cut slits in the top of it so that you can see the filling. And then when it rises, because it's a yeasted dough, mm-hmm. when it rises in that shape. And then the important part about it sort of makes it that classic king cake thing is that once it's baked, you put this icing on top, just a white icing. And then you sprinkle kind of between every other slit, you sprinkle it with colored sugar. And the classic colors of Mardi Gras are purple, green, and gold. So every other slit is like purple, green, gold, all the way around in the circle. And so it makes this beautiful classic king cake that everyone recognizes because of the colors of
it. Look really so pretty.
It is so pretty and it is so good. And then the other thing about a king cake that's really fun is, and I would argue it's way more fun than the roulette at the Jelly Belly booth where you might actually get wet dog. There's somewhere inside of this king cake is a hidden trinket. And classically it was a porcelain baby doll. And it was like this tiny little baby, not a kinky baby, a king cake baby. And whoever got that baby in their slice was crowned the king or the queen of Mardi Gras. And they won, you know, that title. But then they also had to have the host the party the next year, which was like good and bad. Well, now anymore, they make those as little plastic babies. You can get them in New Orleans because this is a classic Cajun holiday, the Mardi Gras.
You can also get them at a baking store. I'm going to buy so many.
Yes,
so I'm going to buy so many
babies
and just hide them everywhere.
So if you don't happen to have a baby, though, a lot of people put a nut, like a walnut or something edible in it. But some people used to put like a coin, but like you don't want to do that in case somebody
chokes
happens
to
get the piece and then they
at
eat
this
it.
Point. So we can we have to slice in our episode from last year. I have to find that video where we're just basically like how many king cake babies get lodged in the throat of people.
Yes,
I have to consult
we did
a
go
GI
down that path, didn't we?
Because I don't know about you, but like cinnamon roll, I'm going to eat a big and then I'm just going to be like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
The king cake baby arms are lodged in my esophagus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have nightmares about that?
I do. I think about it a lot, actually. Yeah. The king cake baby.
Yeah. How many enemas are needed to dislodge that like later on in the
you're thinking
track?
Lower GI. I'm thinking it won't even get through upper GI.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Just saying. Just saying.
I
don't want to put plastic in my food.
No.
So that's not for
me. But I mean, it's food safe, but you don't want to eat it.
Yeah. But I don't want to choke on it either.
No. No. So you figure out what you feel comfortable sliding into that cake as the trinket. And you go with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something really large that can't be missed.
Yeah, a golf ball.
A golf ball.
No one will
Oops.
On
there
this.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, could be something like that. Anyway,
and you put the baby
that is the classic.
You put the baby in after it's baked.
Yes.
Okay.
You slide it in after.
To clear that up. No, like melted plastic in the middle of your cinnamon roll. I don't know. I would have put it in before I baked it because I'm an idiot. So,
well, maybe
that's
you should read the directions.
Thanks. That's why I have so many questions because I've never made
As
it.
As we
like,
say, if you can read, you can bake. But the first part of that is you have to read first.
Okay. Put the baby in
after
it's baked.
Put the baby in, yeah.
Okay.
The other classic sort of Mardi Gras things, and these aren't related to Mardi Gras necessarily, but they're just classic New Orleans foods that a lot of people think they can't have because they're gluten-free are the beignets.
Oh, my
and
God.
I know those are just, I mean, if you know, you know, right? Like
I've only had gluten-free beignets once and they were at the New Orleans place in Disney World and they were the best thing I've ever had.
You know
I've
what?
Never made them myself.
I have had them at Disney and they were good. And again, like there's something about someone preparing food for you
yes.
that you know is safe yeah. that just makes it extra delicious. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it that. But they weren't as light and fluffy as the ones that I've made. And you can see the pictures of the ones on the recipe mm-hmm. on my site. There's like a big air pocket in the mm-hmm. middle mm-hmm. and they almost just float like clouds. There's a poof and they're covered in confectioner's sugar and they just melt in your mouth. And
so good.
Oh my God, they're so good. So yeah, beignets, mm-hmm. You have to have those mm-hmm. at one point in your life. Everyone mm-hmm. must have a beignet. If I could buy the world a beignet, I would.
If I could buy the yeah. world a beignet and teach it how to sing.
I'm not interrupting this.
Something about perfect this harmony.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but it doesn't rhyme with beignet.
It doesn't.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, and then I also have an etouffee recipe on my site. It's got a really simple roux base to it.
Oh, that's like a food, not like baking.
A food. It's a savory dish. It's like a rice dish. That's also just a Cajun.
Uh-huh, spicy Cajun stew made with vegetables and seafood.
Spicy Cajun, but it's not very spicy. It's just etouffee, and you can put any kind of protein in there you want. It's a seafood recipe on my site, but you
not the same as gumbo.
Not the same. I don't have a gumbo recipe on my site yet. I should, because I have a lot of readers write in and say that they have made gumbo with my flour and they make the brown roux that goes as the base. And then our good friends here in Baltimore are from Louisiana and he makes gumbo and makes roux with my flour. So I just need to get his recipe and maybe share that on my site. But yeah, you can make anything that you want. And so don't deprive yourself of these wonderful food traditions. Just because you're gluten-free or even grain-free or certainly like not dairy-free or vegan, like there's ways around it. So, celebrate with the best of them, celebrate with a king cake. I would definitely urge you to make a gluten-free king cake. It is so fun. Yeah. So worth it.
Etouffee looks really good.
It is really, it's so fast and so easy to make and it's not spicy at all. Hmm. You can totally spice it up. I wrote the recipe to be very middle of the road, but I throw in a ton of other spices because I'm a spicy girl. I like spice. So I add spice to it when I'm cooking it for ourselves, but the recipe as written is not spicy. It's not going to blow anybody's head off.
So like a lot of like peppers. So like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
green pepper, red pepper, green onion, red pepper, chili pepper. So that sounds like an amazing mix of things that you can make for Mardi Gras while you're yeah. also making things for pancakes. Valentine's Day, while you're and also making Day. Pancakes.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much food to be made at this moment in time that I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. You need to get in the kitchen right now.
You're already behind. You're already behind. Yes. If you haven't made a cake already, you're already behind. And what I don't understand is that Easter's, that means Easter's super early then. It's yeah. in March.
Yeah.
Dude, we've got too many things going on.
It's too much. It's just too much. It's too much.
I can't handle it. I'm not doing this.
I know.
I'm going to go see if my cake decorating thing has babies, and then maybe I'll just get like maybe a dozen and just hide them in places. And Matt will think that he's like losing his mind because he'll keep finding all these like little teeny tiny plastic babies everywhere.
You need to put some in the yard.
This is going to be great. I'm going to put them in the flower garden.
Just yeah.
Like, what is this?
Sorry, like, Erica, I found a plastic baby in the floor.
So wild. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So great. Well, thanks for tuning in for another episode of You Had Me at Eat. We will be back in 2 weeks with, I don't know, whatever major holidays coming up, because apparently all the few holidays sure. are coming up. This is wild.
Hitting us.
Seriously.
Yes, for sure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you're prepared to just bake until I see you next.
I'm headed in the kitchen right now.
So that does not surprise me. Okay. Well, I hope you have a good week. See you next time on You Had Me at Eat.
See you guys. Thanks for tuning in to You Had Me at Eat, the number one voted gluten-free podcast in the country. Remember to like and subscribe, tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.